I love these videos. But I do want to apologize if any of you got elbowed during that video because you've been given the gift of endless words, and the person you came with wanted to make sure you got the message. From one over-talker to another, the struggle is real. Well, I hope this prayer series has been as powerful and beneficial for you as it has been for me. And we're only halfway through. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Derek talked about being persistent in prayer, finding a time and place to meet with God every day. Hopefully, you found that prayer book to be a helpful guide as we learn to make our time with God a non-negotiable part of our day. Last week, Pastor Brian challenged us to exalt God in prayer. We learned that our prayer life should be God-centered, not me-centered. And if you've missed any of this series, I'd encourage you, go to our website and watch the messages that you missed, whoisgrace.com/sermons. So prayer is simply a conversation with God, communication between the Creator and the created. Why is prayer so important to God? Why would He want us to communicate with Him? Because He created us for a relationship with Him. And any good relationship is built on consistent communication. Think of your closest friends and family. Consistent communication is how you got to know them and how you continue to strengthen your relationship with them. The same is true in our relationship with God. We're going to read Jesus' words from John 10 to help us better understand what our communication with God should look like. You can turn to John 10 in your Bible or on your device. We're going to start out at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now let's jump down to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Everyone listening would have been familiar with this imagery, both from experience and with shepherds and both from experience with shepherds and sheep, and from the Old Testament references to God as the shepherd of Israel, his flock. Some of you might be thinking of David's prayer in Psalm 23, describing God as his faithful shepherd. Jesus comes right out and tells us he is the shepherd. But there are a few different characters in this passage that we need to identify. He talks about a thief, a robber, a stranger, and a hired hand. These are all general references to the Jewish leaders at the time who were false shepherds, not the true shepherd. They had distorted God's word and rejected Jesus, God's Messiah. There are sheep in the sheepfold, and there are sheep from a different fold. He's referring here to Jews and Gentiles and how he will be the Savior and shepherd of all people, not just the Jews. And since most of us are not of Jewish descent, we should be really happy about this, that Jesus invites us Gentiles into his flock and into his family. So Jesus is describing his relationship with us as a shepherd with his sheep. He wants us to know what kind of shepherd he is. He calls himself good, a claim to be of the same nature as God himself. He says that he enters by the door, meaning that he is the true Messiah and has proven it by his miracles and fulfilling the messianic prophecies. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. He calls them by name and they recognize his voice. He leads and his sheep follow. He cares for his sheep and will lay down his life for them. Listen to verse 4 one more time. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is the relationship Jesus invites us to have with him, a relationship of knowing and following. Can everyone say that, knowing and following, out loud with me? 1, 2, 3. Knowing and following. Awesome. Just like sheep know and follow their shepherd, he wants us to know and follow him. He wants us to know him, his character, his love, his heart. And he wants us to follow him, going wherever he leads, trusting him enough to obey his commands. So how do we know and follow our shepherd? How do we learn his character and go where he leads us? By listening for his voice. This is our big idea today. Listening is essential to knowing and following. In any relationship, listening helps you learn about the other person, who they are, what they value, how they feel towards you, what you can do to love them. This means that prayer isn't meant to be a one-sided conversation where we do all the talking, like we saw happen in the video. Prayer is two-way communication. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to listen. During his last meal with his disciples, Jesus told them that he would send them another helper once he was gone. Listen to Jesus describe this helper, the Holy Spirit, in John 16. Pay attention to the action verbs associated with the role of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Did you hear those action verbs? Guide, speak, declare. God, the Holy Spirit, the member of the Trinity that dwells within every believer, speaks the words of God the Son and God the Father. So even though their good shepherd was leaving in bodily form, he was about to be crucified, resurrected, and ascend to heaven, he was coming to each of them in the form of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. God is actively speaking to us through the Holy Spirit that he's given every one of his followers. So some of you are asking a really logical question at this point. If God is speaking to me, why can't I hear him? Many people are frustrated by the fact that God does not usually speak audibly to us. We want to hear God talk to us just like the other people we have relationships with. I felt that same desire and frustration throughout my life. God, why don't you just tell me out loud what you want me to hear? But I've learned this lesson over time. Just because God chooses to speak to us differently than we'd prefer doesn't mean he isn't speaking. The Bible tells us that our good shepherd speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Our job is to learn to listen and recognize his voice. Remember, listening is essential to knowing and following. Before we get too far, I have to admit to you that I am by no means an expert at listening and recognizing God's voice. I'm right there with you on this journey of learning how to have two-way communication with God. But my hope is that this message will help you and me, all of us, be better at listening for his voice so we can know and follow Jesus better, even if we don't have it all figured out. If you're like me and this topic is one that really interests you, I'd recommend a book called Hearing God by Dallas Willard. It's taught me a lot about listening for God's voice in ways that I didn't before. And as I've been preparing for this sermon, I'd encourage you to check it out. When it comes to listening for the Good Shepherd, it's helpful to know what to listen for. The first thing that we should listen for are revelations and reminders of the truth. Revelations are moments of clarity, seeing something clearly for the first time. It's like an epiphany or a light bulb moment. Our hearts and our minds are able to comprehend and believe a specific truth about who God is. That's a revelation. The Holy Spirit communicates through revelations so that we can know and remember the truth about God's character. In John 14, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." It is so important for sheep to learn about their shepherd. A good shepherd communicates with his sheep and gives them an opportunity to really know him and trust him. They become so familiar with him that when he speaks, they listen and follow. When we listen to God, our priority should be on knowing him. We should listen for these revelations and reminders about who he is. If you're only listening for instructions from God, for him to tell you what to do next in your life, maybe you're missing what he's trying to tell you about himself. Just like sheep, we are forgetful and prone to wander off. We forget how loving and trustworthy God is. We lose sight of the good news of the gospel of Christ. We start to doubt God's character. But I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit speaks helpful reminders to us if we're willing to listen. Revelations and reminders are what the Holy Spirit speaks to me most often. It will happen while I'm reading the Bible or having a conversation with my life group. It will happen while I'm singing a worship song or listening to a sermon. God speaks a powerful word of truth about himself to me. Sometimes it's a first-time revelation. Often it's a reminder of something I already know to be true, But it's like it comes to life in my heart in that moment. The supernatural communication encourages my faith. Maybe this is something that's happened to you and you never realized it was the Holy Spirit speaking to you, helping you know God better. As you go through your week and spend time with God, listen for revelations and reminders of the truth. What else should we listen for? Wisdom, convictions, and callings. Revelations and reminders help us know Jesus. Wisdom, convictions, and callings help us follow Jesus. A good shepherd leads us into his will by speaking words of wisdom and guidance. Most of the time, this means showing us how to apply the truth of his word in a specific situation. We pray, God, what does it look like to be like Jesus in this situation at work or at school? How should I reach out to my neighbors who don't know you? Lord, show me how to discipline my kids. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. God gives us wisdom to make decisions that are pleasing to him. It's easy for me to get in the bad habit of acting before asking. Do you do this? Making decisions without asking my shepherd for his wisdom and insight and just trusting my own wisdom? What if we were so eager to follow our shepherd that we learned the habit of asking before acting? God wants to give us wisdom. Let's ask and listen for his voice of guidance. Okay, what else should we listen for? We should listen for convictions. A good shepherd corrects and redirects his sheep for their own good, leading them away from danger and things that would harm them. Often the sheep don't even realize how much danger or harm is just around the corner, but the shepherd does. God will convict us through the Holy Spirit to help us become more like Jesus. In John 16, Jesus says, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Have you ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit? It can be painful, but conviction from God always leads us to life and godliness. Sometimes we find ourselves avoiding opportunities to hear God's voice because we don't want to be corrected. This is what happened when God would speak words of conviction through prophets in the Old Testament. People would reject them and avoid them because they didn't want to turn from their sin. We have that same temptation to stop going to our life group or stop reading the Bible, maybe even stop coming to church altogether. Why? Because we know God might convict us of our sin and we just don't want to hear it. Let me encourage you to trust your shepherd enough to let him correct you. And in those times of conviction, it's important that you make sure you're listening to the right voice. If you hear a voice of condemnation, just making you feel guilty, telling you that you're a failure, that your mistakes make you unworthy of God's love, that there's no hope, that's not God's voice. That is the voice of Satan trying to discourage you and destroy your faith. When you hear God convicting you, he will speak the truth in love. He will point out your sin, but simultaneously comfort you with his love and his mercy. God's voice should draw you closer to him, not cause you to withdraw from him. All right, lastly, we should listen for callings from God. A good shepherd calls his sheep to abundant life. This abundant life is often different than what we had planned. When you listen to God, be ready for him to change your plans. Why would we follow a shepherd that always told us whatever we think is best? In Acts 16, we read about a calling that changed Paul's plans. And when they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went on down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul had a plan, and it was a good plan. He wanted to take the gospel, the good news, to Asia, an area that to his knowledge hadn't heard the good news of Jesus yet. But God changed his plan. We don't know how, but the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and his companions to forbid them from entering Asia and Bithynia. And then Paul receives a vision in the night that he interprets as God's calling them to go to Macedonia and preach to the people there. There's an important word in this passage that gives us an indication of Paul's listening relationship to God, his good shepherd. Did Paul wake up after the vision and try his plan one more time just in case it would work? Did Paul wait a few more days and make sure they had enough time to rest and prepare for their travels? No, it says they immediately went to Macedonia. Once Paul heard God's calling, he let go of his plan and obeyed right away. And what was the result of them following the calling to preach the gospel in Macedonia instead? Many people came to Christ in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, and amazing churches are started in each of these cities. You see, God's going to call us. He's going to call us to specific jobs, relationships, ministries that we may have otherwise missed if we're not listening for his voice. Are you listening for God's callings? Are you willing to drop what you're doing and follow God's calling wherever and whatever that might be? When God called me to leave my job as a high school math teacher to go into full-time ministry at Grace, my wife and I definitely had some moments of trepidation. You want us to do what, God? But even though I love my job as a teacher, and becoming a pastor has brought a lot of challenges, I'm reminded every day that this is what God is calling me to do. And that gives me incredible peace and purpose and joy, even in the hardest moments. Are you willing to follow God's calling wherever and whatever they may be? There are two other important lessons from this story that I want us to learn. God will tell us exactly what he wants us to hear, and God will tell us when he is ready for us to hear it. Let me say that again. God will tell us exactly what he wants us to hear, and God will tell us when he's ready for us to hear it. It may not be as specific or clear as we'd like it to be. It may not be on our time frame. God doesn't spell everything out on purpose. It forces us to stay close to our shepherd, to keep our ears open for his voice, to learn his heart so that when he doesn't speak, we have a good understanding of what he would want us to do. God tells us exactly what he wants us to hear when he's ready for us to hear it. Our job is to stay close to the shepherd, listening and ready to follow his lead. So now that we know what to listen for, let's talk about how we can listen for God's voice. I want us to think of our communication with God like walkie-talkies. I know it's an overly simplistic analogy, but I think it's helpful, all right? If you're a younger person in the audience today listening, you might have no idea what a walkie-talkie is, but just imagine for a minute an ancient cell phone that could communicate with other devices like it that were on the same radio frequency. And no, you could not text from this walkie-talkie. Heartbreaking, I know. Walkie-talkies have different numbered channels to hear the other person that is trying to communicate with them. You have to be on the same channel in order to hear them and to talk to them. If we're going to hear God's voice, we have to be aware of the different channels through which he's communicating. And we have to tune in to those channels to listen for his voice. God spoke to people in many different ways through the Bible. Audible voices, miraculous signs and wonders, dreams, visions, prophets. But he also spoke to people in less dramatic ways. I want to talk about some of the ways we can intentionally listen for God's voice. These are the channels that God speaks most consistently to me and other followers of Christ that I've talked to or read about. Meditation on Scripture is the most effective and accurate way we listen for God's voice. Paul tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by God. In 2 Peter 1:21, Peter writes, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is why we call the Bible the Word of God. This is the primary way God speaks to us. And so I ask you, are you listening for God's voice when you read the Bible? Or are you reading it like it's just a textbook? God's Word must go from informational to conversational. God's Word must go from informational to conversational. When we meditate on Scripture, we don't just read it and move on. We listen intently and think about what the Holy Spirit is revealing and reminding us through the Word. We let it sink in and take root in us. We let it change us. And then we continue the conversation by talking to God about what he's telling us. Making time to communicate with God and equip yourself with his Word every day is key to experiencing spiritual vitality in your walk with God. Another way we listen for God's voice is through solitude and stillness. Jesus is our example of solitude and stillness, getting alone with God and getting quiet enough to hear Him speak. He modeled the words of Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Listen to Mark 1:35. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He," Jesus, "departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed." Even Jesus needed to retreat from the crowds, to disconnect from the noise and the demands of life so that He could give God His best attention. We should build this same rhythm of solitude and stillness into our lives. Promptings and whispers from the Holy Spirit are another way we hear God speak to us. These messages often come in the form of a still, small voice. That's why some people call them whispers. I asked some people that I respect and admire here at Grace to share some of their experience with hearing God's voice. And this is how some of them described promptings and whispers from the Holy Spirit. They said it can be a recurring thought or a nudge to do something. It can be a feeling that you can't shake that might be God trying to tell you something. It can be a quiet but clear revelation about God that strikes you in a powerful way, like a message spoken straight to you. Sometimes you'll be prompted to pray or encourage someone or take action to help someone. One of our elders shared an example that happened to him recently. He heard a voice from God during worship directing him to make a significant donation to someone in need. He felt this was God because it was an act God would instigate, not him. It was in keeping with God's character. It required an act of faith from him, and it would meet a need of someone who could not provide it for themselves. And he knew that God would get the glory if he did this. The message from Pastor Derek that followed that moment related directly to what God was telling him to do. Then after church, he goes to talk to his wife, who was volunteering in the nursery, hadn't been in church that morning, hadn't heard the sermon, didn't know that he had this interaction with God. She makes an unsolicited comment that confirmed to him this is what God wanted him to do. How cool is that? I'll be sharing a few more of these stories and insights from people at Grace on Grace's blog tomorrow if you're interested. And even though these promptings can be subjective, hard to know for sure if it's God speaking to you or not, I've heard so many powerful stories of how God has used these promptings, these whispers, to guide His people into His good plans and purposes. Bill Hybels says this quote, "If you lower the ambient noise of your life and listen expectantly for those whispers of God, your ears will hear them. And when you follow their lead, your world will be rocked." Sometimes you'll hear a prompting or whisper during your time alone with God. Other times you'll hear Him as you're going about your day. Ask for God's guidance, ask for Him to speak to you, and listen as you go. Another way we listen for God's voice is by fasting. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "And when you fast," because He assumed His followers would be fasting. This might be something you've never done before, but the goal is to spend time listening, praying with God when you'd normally be eating, to let that hunger draw your attention back to the Lord. You might end up giving up something else other than food, but whatever you're fasting from, let it direct your heart back to God, listening for His voice. This is Friday's prompt for you in your prayer book, and there's some helpful guidance in the back of the prayer book about fasting to get yourself ready for that. God also speaks to us through music and worship. It's amazing to me that when we gather to worship, we gather to give Him praise, that we often receive the blessing of hearing God's voice. Have you ever been singing or listening to a song and you're just struck in a profound way by the truth of what you're singing or hearing? Those are moments that I've come to recognize as God speaking to me. We can also hear God's voice through the voice of people. He might speak an encouraging word through a conversation with a Christian friend or a guiding thought through our discussion with our life group. We might receive a clear calling from God while listening to a sermon or while reading a book written by a human being. God has given certain people spiritual gifts of teaching, prophecy, exhortation, and wisdom so that He could communicate His truth through them to us. The last way I want us to be listening for God is through nature. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Don't just see nature as God's artwork. Remember that you are in the presence of the artist at all times. Listen for Him to speak to you in real time through His creation. I hope this gives you a better understanding of the ways, the different channels that you can tune into God's frequency and intentionally listen for his voice. We will all have times when we wonder whether it's God's voice or not that we're hearing. Our first question should always be, does it line up with Scripture? If you feel like God's telling you something that is contradictory to Scripture, then you could know that it's not God's voice. Confirmation from other trusted believers is another way to help you determine if what you're hearing is actually God's voice and that you're hearing it correctly. We should let other believers know when we feel like God's speaking to us, especially if it's a significant call to action and has the potential to affect people around us. They can help us confirm that it's likely God's voice or not. Do people mishear God? Absolutely. We should have a lot of humility when it comes to listening to God's voice, because while God and His Word are infallible, incapable of being wrong or making mistakes, we as human beings are quite fallible. It can be difficult to distinguish our own thoughts, emotions, and desires from God's. We can get so excited about an idea or desire something so strongly that we think it's God speaking and find out later that it wasn't. This challenge should not discourage us from listening. It should make us more eager to recognize and follow God's voice. As the worship team comes, I want us to make this really practical this week. I want us to follow along with this prayer book each day as it challenges and encourages us to spend time listening to God. Saturday's prayer prompt is to have a time of solitude and stillness. And so my challenge for you right now is to schedule it now. You can get out your calendar, get out your phone, whatever you need to do, write it down so that it doesn't get forgotten. If Saturday doesn't work for you, you can schedule it on another day this week that works better for you. But schedule that time specifically for solitude and stillness. And I'd recommend at least 30 minutes. You might be surprised how long it takes to quiet your mind and really listen and be in tune with God. The goal is to follow Jesus' example of retreating and disconnecting, getting away from the constant noise and activity and busyness, and spending time being still before God. We're going to practice this morning, during this service today, being still and silent before God. It's probably going to feel uncomfortable because it's so unfamiliar in our culture of constant noise and stimulation. But this is an opportunity to give God our undivided attention. Our shepherd is inviting us to know Him and follow Him, to join Him in His kingdom work. Are we ready to give Him our undivided attention and our open ears? Are we ready to listen for revelations and reminders of who He is? Wisdom that guides us to do His will, convictions that shape us to be more like Jesus, and callings that lead us to accomplish His work in this world. If my shepherd is speaking, I want to intentionally listen for His voice. So let's quiet our minds, let's still our hearts, let's open our ears, and let's listen for the voice of our good shepherd.